I'm calling the meeting to order. First item on the agenda is the public comment period, and our first commenter is John Salzberg. Mr. Salzberg, would you like to come up to the podium over there? And I would just note that you are listing your topic of discussion as Alstom. One of the items in our procedures is we do not accept comments on awards and whom we should award to. Okay?
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you for the DC Metro BDS Coalition, an organization concerned with more than 40 years of Israeli occupation of the Palestinian territories. Alstom, a company with multiple contracts with WWAMALA, is playing a key role in maintaining and enhancing this illegal occupation. As representatives of a public institution, we believe you should be aware of Alstom's conduct abroad. Alstom is serving as the primary contractor to build a light rail link from Jerusalem to ethnically segregated settlements in East Jerusalem. Palestinians are not permitted to reside in these settlements. They are exclusively for Israeli Jews. President Obama and every president since Israel acquired the West Bank and East Jerusalem by force of arms in 1967 has condemned the settlements. Israel, as a party of the Fourth Geneva Convention of 1949, is legally bound under Article 49, Paragraph 6, as the occupying power not to resettle its population into occupied territory. The Office of the Legal Advisor of the Department of State, the United Nations, and the International Court of Justice have determined these settlements violate international law. Moreover, this Israeli practice of segregation has led many, including President Jimmy Carter and Archbishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa, to draw a comparison with the apartheid system that had existed in South Africa. My request is that the Metro Board consider how these actions may affect Metro's future relationship with Alstom. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Salzberg. Any comments from the board? If not, moving ahead, Nora Bawa, same topic, same organization.
Good morning. My name is Nora Bawa, speaking on behalf of the DC Metro BDS Coalition. We are part of a global movement announced by members of Palestinian civil society in 2005 to call upon international civil society organizations and people of conscience all over the world to impose broad boycotts and implement divestment initiatives against Israel, similar to those applied to South Africa during the apartheid struggle. Alstom, which with another French company, Veolia, is building a light rail system in segregated Jerusalem, is our topic. This is to be another large infrastructure project to prevent Israel's future withdrawal from the occupied territories, thwarting any hope of a peace agreement. Of the planned 23 stations, only four are in Palestinian neighborhoods. Several others in occupied East Jerusalem are Jewish settlements. Since its occupation in 1967, Israel has extended Jewish settlements into East Jerusalem and beyond, into the occupied West Bank. It is to serve these settlements that the rail line is being built. With regard to segregation on the system, spokesman Amon Elian for CityPass, the Israeli consortium to which Alstom belongs, said, "Veolia is aware that the light rail service will be discriminatory. If Palestinians would want to make use of the light rail, both groups will not meet on the train because of their different life patterns." He further justified the discriminatory service by claiming that since Palestinians are served by a network of buses, integration in the light rail system could be redundant. Does this sound familiar to anyone who was around for the civil rights struggle in this country? Is that it?
Your time has elapsed. If you want to just wrap it up quickly.
Just one sentence. Alsen is also currently being sued for French court for violation of international law, as its participation is considered a war crime. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bawa. The next speaker is Rai Abdul Ram. I believe that's it. Okay, do we have? Yes. Okay. Okay. My apologies.
Hi. Although I completely concur with both Nora Bawa and John Salzberg, what I'm here to talk to you about is the increases that you're considering for bus rights and metro rights. Please take note of this. I am currently an intern at Blue State High School. In a survey in 2009, fall of 2009, 3 months ago, we found out that transportation is the most critical aspect of our students' lives, whether they're in need of coming to school or whether they're seeking a job. Now, I was struck by how little support our community, the community that really needs our support in terms of financial assistance for transportation. The only available support that Metro gives in DC is for students. But what you overlook is many of our students are older than 18 years old. And they do need our support. Some are 19, some are 20, some are 22. At State, there are some who are 32 trying to get back into the mainstream of society. Maryland and Virginia offer services for people in need. We need to offer the same for our kids here in DC. We need to make sure that they are supported. These are really huge hikes for our kids. It is not easy for them to muster. It's between choosing getting on the bus and going to school or feeding a baby. So please consider that very carefully as you look into your hikes and increases. If at all is possible, if you could give our kids another alternative, maybe a discounted card or something like that. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rum. The next speaker is two people listed together. Raynette Anderson and Amy Myers, are you going to speak together? And you are, okay.
Good morning, all members of the Washington Metro Transit Authority and DC community. We are here to speak this morning on how volatile transportation is in this community and to all who utilize it. We would like to offer some ideas and alternatives to high fare increases or even cutting the fares or the service. First off, county transportation, to give you an example, breaks their things down into zones, at least three zones. And the most local zone, which would be here, would be Washington, and around there would be $3. Around the Fairfax region would be $4. And then anything beyond that would be $5. And also, to help with the smart trick issue, instead of the flashcards, make the smart trip card more like a flashcard and put on a weekly rate instead of a rate by a trip. And I'd like to turn it over to Ms. Anderson to add a few comments. Go ahead.
We are also talking about Metro Access. It is a really good program. We have had little kind of problems, which we have put in our written testimony, but overall, it's a really good program. We would like to see it not be raised too much, and that's why we came up with those rates for them. We feel they can also afford that kind of rate, since a lot of them use the county ones as well, like we do too. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Are there any comments or questions by board members? If not, we move on to the next agenda item. Thank you. Which is approval of the agenda. Are there additions, changes, or corrections to the agenda as presented? Ms. Hutchins.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to amend the agenda to move item 7, report of the Finance and Administration Committee, to be to follow the item 9, report of the DC, the jurisdictional committees.
Okay. Any comment on that, Mr. Zimmerman? Another request.
Items listed under administrative, items 11 and 12, I would like to ask that they be removed from the administrative and considered individually prior to or in front of the other administrative items.
Prior to, or is it okay to just do them after, do the last four after?
I guess I don't feel sure as long as they're done individually.
You want those individual. Why don't we take 11 through 14, do them individually, and everything through 10, unless there's an objection on us. Is that okay with everybody else? Items 11 through 14 under under administrative items will be discussed individually.
So we had issues on 13. I didn't have any issues on 13 and 14. I don't know why.
I had a question on 13.
Yeah, I did too. So. Okay. Well, so items 11 through 14 will be done individually. Items 1 through 10 will be eligible for en masse consideration. Okay. Any other comments on those changes? Without objection, the agenda is approved as modified. Minutes of April 22nd. Additions, corrections, or changes? I hear none. Without objection, those are approved as presented. A report by the Riders Advisory Council, Mr. DiBernardo. Are you there? Yes. No.
Hello, my name is Darren Guruswamy. I'm a vice chair of the Riders Advisory Council, and I'm presenting the report to the board on behalf of Mr. DiBernardo, who was unable to make this meeting and sends his regards. It is my pleasure to present you with the Riders Advisory Council report for May, beginning with Metro's next capital agreement. Metro staff came to the May council meeting and provided us an overview of Metro's proposed FY 2011-16 capital program. Council members had concerns about the removal of several projects from the program as proposed due to funding constraints. It is our understanding that funding for many of these projects has been restored as negotiations on the capital plan continue. However, the capital plan as currently proposed still will not fully fund Metro's estimated $11 billion in capital needs. Many of the projects that will not be funded in this plan are those designed to improve the rider experience, such as expansions to station entrances and mezzanines. The council understands the critical link between keeping Metro in a state of good repair and its ability to deliver safe and reliable service. We also hope that there will be opportunities for projects to be added to the capital plan as funding allows. We look forward to working with the staff to provide rider input as the capital plan undergoes updates. Senate testimony, on May 19th, Mr. DiBernardo provided testimony to the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development and related agencies. A copy of Mr. DiBernardo's testimony is attached for your information. As he noted in his testimony and in subsequent exchange with Senator Mikulski, the council is looking forward to using Metro's Vital Signs report, which will be launched in June to identify and help address systematic Metro service issues. Finally, on the subcommittees, as noted previously, the council has started holding committee meetings to allow for greater discussion on specific topics. The Metro Bus Committee had its first meeting on May 10th and will be meeting in June to discuss passenger communications issues. As always, we welcome the board's suggestions on areas where the council can provide useful feedback. Thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you very much for your report, and let me comment that The Writers Advisory Council has been extremely helpful in its proposals and its suggestions to the board, and certainly relative to the issues, budgetary issues and fare and service issues that are before us right now. And we look forward to continuing to get that kind of advice, as you now suggest, for our capital program. And certainly I believe it's the intent of all of us to add as many projects to that program as we can find dollars to support. Thank you. Any other board members have comments? Without that, then completes this item. The next one is a report by the general manager, Mr. Sorrells.
Good morning. As you know, we are working to improve safety, service reliability, and financial stability. Many of the items on today's agenda relate directly to these three priorities and to our ability to provide our customers with the safest, most reliable service possible. I'd like to use my time to briefly update you on the actions that we have taken against these three priorities since the last board meeting. First, with respect to our number one goal, safety, I'm pleased to report that we have completed the draft of the Right-of-Way Worker Protection Manual and forwarded to the Tri-State Oversight Commission for review. This week, we started Transportation Safety Institute training for our staff with a course on transit system security. The courses will run through September. And today we are requesting your approval to award the contract to purchase the 7,000 series cars that will expand the fleet in preparation for service to Dulles and allow us, most importantly, to address our top safety priority, the replacement of the 1,000 series rail cars. Among the initiatives that are in the works, during the week of June 7th, we will survey all of our employees as part of our safety cultural survey to help measure awareness, perceptions about WMATA safety programs, employee engagement, and the overall safety culture. This will be a valuable tool to measure our progress in creating a safety culture. In June, we'll be presented with a tracking system of all safety-related findings and recommendations from oversight agencies like the Tri-State Oversight Committee, the National Transportation Safety Board, and the Federal Transit Administration. By the end of June, Metro Bus will start using a newly developed incident tracking system and safety management system that will be fully deployed throughout the authority by the end of October. And on July 8th, we will present the new whistleblower protection policy to you. With respect to our second priority of improving service and reliability, the new cars will certainly be a great improvement for our customers. We will review the customer amenities and benefits later today. When it comes to improving reliability, I have found that the only way to make progress is to take action, but also to have a consistent method of measurement. I am pleased to report that we're near completion of our work on a performance scorecard that will enable us to measure our progress in an open and transparent way for everyone, our employees, customers, and stakeholders. On June 10th, we plan to provide you with a briefing on our scorecard that puts on-time performance and other measurements front and center. Our third major goal is, of course, financial stability, and through that stability, we will achieve the state of good repair that is crucial to our efforts at improving both safety and reliability. Federal funding will be vital to achieving a state of good repair, and last week, the chairman and I testified before the Subcommittee on Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development and related agencies of the U.S. Senate Committee on Appropriations about our need for $150 million in capital funding authorized for Metro in fiscal year 2011. At the hearing, as I highlighted the need to return Metro to a state of good repair, I also discussed the work we were doing on a number of fronts to strengthen our safety program. I generally discuss much of what I have told you today, including the fact that we're hiring more people in our safety department and getting them the training that they need. I discussed the incident management system that will allow us to analyze trends and spot issues in advance, and I discussed our efforts to improve protections for our track workers by updating our procedures and our training program for those who work in and around the track area. Before concluding, I want to highlight the important construction work that will start this week and extend over the next two weekends. This weekend, the Orange Line will undergo one of the biggest construction projects that Metro has had in some time. There will be no train service between East and West Falls Church stations on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, but there will be shuttle buses connecting those stations. Communications for the service adjustments has included news releases, a press conference, the posting of banners, signs, and posters, public address announcements, messages on electronic signs on platforms, and the notification of surrounding communities and stakeholders. The media has done a great job in getting the word out. We will continue to work with them to provide updates and alerts over the next 2 weeks. I'd like to ask Chief Michael Taborn to introduce our employees in the spotlight today. Chief?
Before we start with that, Mr. Sorrells, if you would, Chief Taborn, I just wanted to comment, first of all, that the progress that has been made in the 2 months since you arrived here, particularly in the area of safety, is not only commendable but quite amazing. You've taken some enormous steps. The staff has worked really hard in putting in place the mechanisms that we really need to assure that we do provide safe, clean, and reliable service to people. I'm really impressed with the list of items that you have there and the progress that has been made. Mr. Graham?
Thank you. You know, there's one issue that I must again raise with you, which I have been raising along with other members of this board, most particularly Mr. Zimmerman, for year after year after year, and that's the elevator-escalator issue. And this has reached a point several years ago, not recently, but several years ago, where I actually authored a resolution requiring the staff to place announcements in the stations explaining, number one, what the problem was with an escalator or elevator is, and number two, the proximate timeline, the proximate timeline for completion of the repairs. And I'm still experiencing situations as recently as just a few days ago in Columbia Heights, where a tattered banner was just thrown down at the top of the escalator. It referred to dates in 2009. I mean, Mr. Sarles, you know, in your tenure here, can you please assure me that you're going to get a handle on this issue? We know that escalators and elevators do break down, but we need to communicate with our riders and other stakeholders clearly and efficiently, and of course, then get the thing fixed as rapidly as possible. But this is, Woodley Park is now notorious for the problems associated with the escalator there, as you know. And so can you bring me up to date on what is happening in regard to signage, communication with our riders, and also the issue of elevator-escalator repair?
Starting with the last one first, we have, besides what Dave Kubitschek has done in terms of reorganizing the department to get more accountability to specific groups with regard to specific stations, we've brought in an outside expert to evaluate the specifically using Woodley Park and two or three other stations like Bethesda as examples to evaluate the maintenance effort that's been underway there. Including routine maintenance as well as rehabilitation, whether that's adequate, whether the standards we have are adequate, and to make recommendations where we can have improvements over and above what our staff is doing. And that should take place over the next few weeks. Secondly, with regard to the specific escalator at Columbia Heights, the one with the torn banner on top of it, I understand that was finally put back into operation on Saturday night. So the torn banner will become irrelevant. But having said that, the signage, the ones I know generally have on the barricades when work will be complete if it's a rehabilitation, but we will double check and recheck to make sure that all of them have the appropriate signage communicating to folks when the job will be done on that particular escalator.
Right. I think this is, if I may, Mr. Chairman, I think this has long ago reached the point where if this is not done, we need to take some kind of action against those employees who are responsible for doing it. Because we have, the message has been very clearly sent, it should have been reinforced by staff, and at this point, if people are not doing it, there needs to be some action in terms of their record or other disciplinary action so that people get the message that this is an important aspect of our customer relations as well as our operations. So may I be assured that that is going to happen?
Yes, we're going to hold, we hold people accountable. We will hold people accountable.
Okay, thank you.
Chief Taborn.
On the evening of April 9th, Metro Transit Police Department Officer Christopher Folder was on duty at the Naylor Road Metro Station when he heard a loud explosion. He immediately began to investigate the source of the explosion, which was at a nearby condominium. Suddenly, there was a second explosion, and Officer Folder saw a set of balcony doors on the fourth floor of the condominium blown out by flames. After he notified police headquarters, he heard a woman screaming for help and saw an older lady yelling for help from the fifth floor of the condominium. The front door of the building was blocked, and several residents were trying to exit the building. Officer Folder kicked the door in, freeing the people. Then he made his way to the fifth floor of the building and located the apartment where the lady was trapped. He entered the smoke-filled apartment and saw an elderly lady lying on the floor. He picked her up and carried her down the stairs to safety. As he re-entered the building, Metro Transit Police Officers Anthony Reaper, Jamie LaPera, Cleeton Battle, and Reginald Russell arrived on the scene and joined him in the rescue. Together, they worked their way through the building, knocking on each door to alert the residents of a fire. On the fifth floor, Officers LaPera and Folder rescued a resident in a wheelchair, and all of the officers continued to assist residents as they evacuated, even after the fire department had arrived. Although these officers will tell you that they were just doing their jobs, we thank them for their heroism and are proud to put them in this month's Metro Employee Spotlight. Officers, please join our board chairman and the general manager in the center for your presentation.
And that concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Mr. General Manager. We move now to administrative items. I'd entertain a motion for the approval of items 1 through 10.
So moved.
Been moved by Mr. Albert, seconded by Mr. Downey. Any comment, question? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. That one is approved unanimously. We move now to item 11. This is approval to award a multi-year advertising contract. Are there comments, questions? And we do have what appears to be a presentation if we want it. Okay, Mr. Zimmerman's requesting that we see the presentation.
I'd like to introduce the Assistant General Manager for Customer Service, Communications and Marketing, Barbara Richardson, to speak to this.
Welcome, Ms. Richardson.
Board, it's my pleasure to address you today in not quite my fourth week on the job. And with that, I want to present to you the background behind our request that you award our next advertising contract to CBS Outdoor. The advertising field is one that's been particularly hard hit by the economic downturn. Advertising budgets have been cut across the nation, and in fact, that's one of the first places when businesses are crunched at budget time that they look for relief. The result of that has been a cascading down, certainly to our current vendor, who is also CBS, who has sold advertising on our behalf. But another factor that needs to be recognized in this economy is the pressure that has taken place on the stability of the outdoor advertising industry in general. There are very few firms who specialize in systems that are as large as WMATA. So it's important that we recognize that. The proposal that we have before you is an effort to get the most favorable financial terms possible. And I'll go through it really quickly. If we could go back to page one. And also to position the authority to take advantage in the near future of a possible upturn. So as I said, we have a 10-year contract. We were able to get the very favorable terms in a better economic condition and environment in the year 2000. The annual guarantee rose up to this year's $40 million number. The arrangement was a 65% revenue share or the guarantee. CBS, as you can see, has paid more than it has actually billed to us since the beginning of the first year. And over time, they have come back and asked for relief, and we have been successful at having them honor our contract, and they have kept to their contract. I should note that there are other organizations that have been approached by other vendors asking that they provide relief, and that's been going on in the industry right now. CBS is not interested in renewing on our current terms. Next page, please. Some of you may recall that this all started some 2 years ago as the Metro Channel. At that time, their interest was in a more dynamic, interactive, almost a television type of service that we would have for customers. Customer service for us to keep our customers up to date, but also to provide service announcement and the like. At that time, all the financially responsible vendors withdrew. The industry and the economy was still at play there, but we were left with no one. As a contingency, we went back to the static-only proposals inside the buses, inside the trains, at the platform, etc. And I should note that the original RFP was for a 10-year term, and the standard is a 5 to 10-year term. But in order to position us for more favorable financial conditions, we went to a three-year, we revised, went to a three-year term with 4 one-year options. And this short time frame was not only for our benefit, but it also recognized that in the sales process of advertising, there is about a 6 to 12 month sale cycle. The budgets, it's not just a matter of going and asking for the sale, but many of those businesses and such have to have it in their budget. You have to catch them at the front end of their budget year. And also the vendor has some capital investments that are required, the reconstruction of the frames and so on. So there is an interest in recouping some of that capital. Page three, please. So as we are now, the current recommendation to you is to award to CBS. The revenue share is 55% or $8 million annually of a guarantee. Currently, the 55% rate is at approximately $15 million for us. I would also say that in this cycle with a three-year term, we would need to go out to bid already again in 2 years because of the proposal process and the procurement process. I would have liked to have been speaking to you today on my first time before you with better financials, but I believe that this is the best arrangement that we can get in the current economic environment, and I recommend the approval of the contract.
Ms. Richardson, the $15 million that's there, is that the same number that's in the 2011 budget proposal?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Linton.
Mr. Linton, your mic, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Richards, it's a pleasure to have you join us on our staff, and we're looking forward for a robust communications program going forward. Unfortunately, I think some of what you're presenting today kind of predates your arrival. Specifically, I was struck by this when it was on the board's agenda that I did not know we had deviated from Metro Channel. And I was trying to find out, because we've had some fairly extensive presentations to this board on Metro Channel's, its objectives, what we were hoping to achieve. And then I had this appear on the docket that talked about a static advertising contract, which I was pretty shocked by, because I didn't know that we had terminated Metro Channel in concept. And we had now moved to static advertising as proposed. That's what struck me initially, because there was no presentation back to the board. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody can correct me. But we were, as far as I know, no one came back and said, oh, because of the economy and the whole issue of the streaming video and the idea that we would have a capitalized program and revenues coming in to cover that and all of that, which was presented to us, no one came back and said, we can't do that at this point time. Therefore, we're going out with a traditional advertising contract. So that's why I first would like to get some clarity. Did that come back to the board? Were we told that we were moving in a different direction?
I believe there was a memo. Mr. Lenton, I believe that there was a written document, but not a presentation to you, I believe. Is that correct? Correct.
Seemingly, no one seems to remember that. That's what really struck me as to why we need to move this off of the kind of consent calendar, because I was struck by the what I thought was a dramatic change. Mm-hmm. And I saw some head shakes in front of the JCC, which sounded like some of them were surprised.
Apparently the memo did not make it to beyond the staff.
Okay.
Are you finished, okay, Mr. Linton?
I guess I am finished.
Well,
it was finished before I got
Mr.
started.
Chairman? Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Ms. Richardson.
We can continue to pursue if it would be a possibility that we might have that option in the future. In other words, talk with the industry out there and see if that at some point that we could maybe hope to have that actually soon. As the economy approves.
Well, I know some other transit agencies are pursuing that in a different format where the revenues are going to the capitalization of the devices for the streaming video versus coming back to the authority in terms of revenues. So I know there's some of that is going on, and I know what's happening in Chicago and New York and some other places. So I've been looking at that in terms of how the industry is pursuing. But the thing that bothers me is that we weren't even given options or told that direction was moving prior to the desire to be approving a contract. And I think that's pretty dramatic. So, but like I said, that happened before you got here.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Downing.
It happened before I got here, so I didn't know it was an issue. But I think we are where we are. We're in a very down economy. It's unfortunate in terms of the revenue we're getting. I think we're in better shape than some other places.
Yes.
I understand that my former colleagues in New York have had to default their contractor for lack of performance. I will note, I think we need to watch closely, the fact that this is 3 years, there are options, and we really should be looking at it in a year or two to say, has the economy improved, and shouldn't we go back out and see if there is competition?
Sounds as though you're getting a request to come back and talk to the board in ample time to look at the assuming we go ahead here, look at the renewal or exercise of any options so that we don't necessarily get stuck having to do an option. Mr. Zimmerman.
It seems to me there are two different important issues here. First, that which Mr. Linton pursued, and that is significant for more than one reason. To begin with, Mr. Lynn's absolutely right. I mean, this was a big deal. This staff made a very big deal in presenting this to the board in committee with visual aids. There were press releases. This was a whole part of not just an advertising contract, but a whole new service that we were pursuing. So just the fact that that would be changed so radically without that being brought to our attention is a problem. But it also relates to the services that were going to be provided because, you know, real-time train arrival information was one of the most important improvements to the performance of this system and the quality of the customer's experience that's been implemented since it started, and that's something just over the last decade. People really appreciate that. The system is now, you know, we were like one of the first in the country, if not the first in the country to do it. It's not exactly up to date, and one of the problems we've had is that, you know, on a platform like Metro Center, you got one. It's not near, you know, you walk all over this country, there are just monitors everywhere giving information, but we've just got these really limited, clunky sort of things that we don't have enough of. And every time I'd raise this, say, in the operations committee about getting more of this information, given that the prices of really nice monitors have fallen so far and everybody else is using them, the answer was, oh, that's coming with Metro Channel. We can't do any of that. No, we can't do something small. We can't do something cheap because it's all part of this big thing we're doing. So, you know, I asked that question within the last 12 months, maybe within the last 6 months, and got that answer. So now we have a whole new thing we got to look at is what we're doing to, you know, improve the situation because we don't provide information at the level that in 2010 people are coming to expect in their daily lives. And now apparently we don't have a plan to get there. I appreciate entirely that the market for advertising is not what it was, but, you know, that changes then what you're doing. And that now calls into question to me the very contract we have in front of us. The previous contract was obviously under very favorable terms for Metro. We were smart. When the market was hot, we drove a hard bargain, we got it, and we made them stick to it. This is important for people to understand because, you know, one of the things as we deal with budget issues, people think, well, why can't you get more advertising? And we had to explain to them, no, we're going to get a lot less from advertising because there's a lot less to get. So, you know, that is a reality, and everybody needs to understand that. Well, we're getting like $40 million, and now this is going to be $15 million. Uh-huh. I mean, it's a big order of magnitude. That cannot be fixed for 2011. I accept that. I don't understand, though, why this contract, apart from the dollar amount, is a good one for us to take. When we issued the RFP or RFB, whatever it was, did we fix a term of contract?
Yes.
When you switched off the 10-year with Metro Channel, what did you say it would be for?
Well, originally we went for 10, but then it was revised
to
3.
Right.
This is a base year of 3, and because of the time frame for the procurement process, in 2 years' time, we will be pulling together yet another.
That's the part I'm going to question. I don't understand the 2 years' time and 3 years when, number one, we are probably at the absolute nadir of the market. And we're now not asking somebody to come in and invest money. In fact, we're asking the exact same contractor who's been doing this for the last decade, losing money, to keep doing what they're doing on terms that now won't lose them money. Why I got to give them 3 years? I mean, why don't we just do 1 year and look at it again in 12 months? Or 18 or 24, but it seems to me that there's no reason for us to lock something into 3 years that we got a pretty good idea is as low as it's ever going to get. And, you know, and what are we getting out of it? We're not asking them to invest something. It's not a situation where, you know, they need a certain amount to do it because otherwise it isn't worth it. They're doing this now. We're just going to give them more favorable terms next month than they've had for the last 8 years or whatever. So why do I want to approve a 3-year contract?
We can ask if they would be willing to do another year. We can request that and see if what we get.
Ms. Chairman, my inclination would be to defer this to at least the next meeting, perhaps send direction back. I mean, I don't understand what the benefit is to us. There's a small risk that it would be lower next year than this amount, and there's a non-insignificant chance it might be a little bit better. But, you know, why lock ourselves in for next year's budget when we'll also have a budget problem?
Ms. Richardson, can you tell us a little bit about timing? And also, if you were to ask, can you do that without opening this up for competition?
Well, I think we would work through the procurement department to see if there's a point.
actually, the contract expires June 30th.
Yes.
So what we'd have to do, we would not have time to do another solicitation in the 6 weeks or so that we have left.
But
what you could do
is ask for one.
Is ask for an extension with the existing contract. It could be 1 year. They could decide to do an extension for 6 months. It would cost, and actually, it would have two impacts. It would impact our FY11 budget because we've already have a guaranteed amount in there. So we'd have to look at that. And we'd have to go back to the existing vendor to find out if they would be agreeable to just do a 1 year contract. And there'd be some financial implications to that.
They will not extend at the current financial. No.
We know that.
Yeah.
The question which I believe Mr. Zimmerman is asking is, on the terms that you now have for 3 years, would they be willing to accept a 1 year? Which means we're both taking a risk as to where the market will be a year from now.
Right. And so what I would suggest is that we ask if that's agreeable and if we can come to that arrangement.
And if we were to postpone this action, as Mr. Zimmerman suggests, until the 24th of June, which would still give you time to do an award according to this or a change, will that work?
6 days.
Mr. Benjamin, a change from a three-year base to a one-year base is a material change to what was put out for everyone to propose on. And, of course, we might have different proposers if we were asking for just a 1 year. So I think the option is, as Ms. Richardson has said, to try to negotiate an extension for 1 year on different financial terms as opposed to award this new contract with a shorter base period.
Yeah, I don't think that's what Mr. Zimmerman was saying. What he was saying was, could you extend for a year under the terms that have now been negotiated for a three-year contract?
The financial terms.
Our procurement contracting officer, we have actually requested that, advertising said no, they would not extend the same terms that we have now for 1 year. We can go back and ask that question again.
Nobody asked that question.
Oh.
It was the new terms.
Yeah, the
new terms.
Yeah, we could ask.
Would they accept the new terms for 1 year? Now, that would put you in a position of having to start right away on the next cycle because a year from now, if you didn't like what they suggested, you'd have to go for something new and different. So you would have to start immediately on a procurement. Is that your intention, Mr. Zimmerman?
I think what you said. My intention is that we're not stuck for 3 years with a decision made on an unfavorable basis to us with no apparent upside that I can see.
Okay, so I think the proposal that you have is, would they please go see if they can get on these terms a 1 year extension, admittedly changing the terms to the the $8 million guarantee and the estimated $15 million, 55%. And at the same time, you would presumably come back to us and start a procurement for the end of that, because otherwise,
correct.
I don't know what
we
the basis is for
again.
The right yeah. for the continuation.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Downey.
And I raise the question, is this the time to be starting a procurement? And I don't think so.
Right. Yeah. Can I make
it look any better a year from now than it does now.
Okay.
Let me just make a comment in answer to Mr. Downey's, if I may.
Certainly.
Okay. It's just that it is going to be very difficult to negotiate at this point a 1 year extension with the existing vendor with the rates that we have now. They have no motivation to do this.
I'm not talking about the rates they have.
With the new rates, excuse me. That's what I'm speaking of, excuse me. And so that's going to be difficult. So we can do that at the direction of the board. But when we come back with an answer, which may be no, we have to actually make sure that we implement something because we actually have to do that because we have an issue. We would have then a budget issue potentially. I understand the questions that you raised, Mr. Zimmerman, and they're all valid ones about moving forward. But that's the risk that we take, because we do not have time for a new solicitation.
If I understand again, Mr. Zimmerman's request would be that you try to do that. If you fail, you can always come back with this, and we can approve this on the 24th as a 3-year. Right. I understand that. Okay, I'd like to get a sense of the board as to whether we want to take a vote on this as presented to us, or whether we want to take Mr. Zimmerman's suggestion and ask staff to go back and try and accept or negotiate a 1 year on these terms. I'm getting very little reaction here.
I don't think trying to get it in place for 1 year does anything for us except actually create the risk that we could have no contract and no revenue.
Okay. I guess the best way to deal with this is to go ahead and ask for a vote on this as presented. And if you wish to do Mr. Zimmerman's suggestion, vote no.
Mr. Chairman?
Certainly, Mr. Zimmerman.
You know, I appreciate the point that I think Mr. Downey and Mr. Wilton are making, which is essentially that we're stuck now, and they might agree with me, but they don't think we can do anything about it now.
Right. Right.
And I have to say, Mr. Chairman, this is what most disturbs me about the situation we're in right now. I'm really getting tired of having issues brought to the board and a board member raising the issue and being told, oh, well, you have to vote for this and you have to vote for it today, or all kinds of bad things happen because there's not enough time now. And this is perhaps the most atrocious example that I've seen. This is a multi-year contract that we have known is coming up for a long time. In fact, so far in advance, we had all that elaborate presentation a year and a half ago or whatever it was. And we learned today that that changed a few months ago. It wasn't brought to our attention, and we had no opportunity for the board to give new guidance about what we wanted to achieve with the contract. And now it's in front of us at the absolute last minute, and we're being told that we just have to approve it, otherwise, you know, things will be worse. And this really isn't acceptable, to not even have the opportunity for a one-month deferral on something that is a multi-year contract involving millions of dollars. It should not be acceptable to the board. So I understand the predicament, and I understand why my colleagues may feel they have to approve what's before us today. But I don't think that's an acceptable situation.
I interpret that as a statement that we go ahead with the vote as presented to us. Again, a no vote does not necessarily mean that we stop completely. Yes vote means that you're agreeing basically with Mr. Downey and Mr. Linton's statement that it's going to be extremely difficult to renegotiate this at this point. All those in favor of this item, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
No.
We have a single no. This item passes. The no was Mr. Zimmerman for the record. The next item is the approval to award the contract for the 7000 series rail car purchase. Do we wish to have a presentation on this one? Okay. Are there specific questions on this one? All right. So we are... Okay. We have a motion.
Second.
Motion by Ms. Hudgens, second by Mr. Downey. More comments? Any comments? Mr. Zimmerman.
Mr. Chairman, there are a lot of big issues we're dealing with this year and this month even. But I think there are a few things that we will deal with as significant as this action right here before us now. It was, I thought, curiously put in the administrative items, being multi-year, more than a $1 billion contract. Just the sheer magnitude of it is, you know, as big as anything we ever do. But it also is historically one of the most important actions this board will take. It's, you know, there are so many levels to why this matters and why it's a big deal, and there are a lot of different elements to the decision. A lot of things that people may or may not be comfortable with entirely. A lot of different issues are raised. I mean, obviously, the thing that drove it in the first place was cars for the only extension now under construction or really contemplated of this system that is under construction right now to Tyson's Corner, the biggest job center in the region that doesn't have any rail service. For that reason alone, this is a big deal. But it's much more than that, because it allows us to do something that people have wanted to do, talked about the necessity of doing, and since June of last year, especially concentrated, which is to replace the oldest rail cars, those that have been operating on the system since the day it opened in the mid-70s, the 1000 series. And to be able to, you know, say we now have a plan and we're moving forward with actually replacing those rail cars, that would be a huge deal all by itself. But it goes beyond that, because we also get to deal with the next, not just dealing with the immediate crises, but actually thinking ahead to the next series, which is the 4,000 series, and have a way to address the need to replace those. But it's even more significant than that, because although each series of rail cars that have been purchased since the beginning, from the 1,000 to the 6,000 series, have made incremental improvements, those have essentially been incremental changes. Each set of rail cars is a little bit better than the last one. The 6,000s are definitely better than the 1,000s. But it's essentially been off the original model. And this is the first attempt to make a leap to a 21st century rail car, a significant change in our approach to the fleet, and doing it in a way that allows to very quickly have half the fleet or so, I think that's about right, of the new rail cars. And one of the difficulties, and why this, there's, I don't know if controversy is the right word, but there's some issues about whether this was the right thing to do, is the fact that when you go to a new rail car, now you've got two things in your fleet, and there are some incompatibility issues. But your choice is either to always stay with the old stuff, or pick a moment when you can make enough of a change that you have enough of the new ones. And that is an opportunity that this presents us with. And I think that is really important to understand. There will be various kinds of hiccups, and there will be problems changing to something new, but it brings benefits, one of which is greater capacity. These rail cars will allow us to squeeze a little bit more out of the capacity of the system, and they anticipate a time, which should be near into our future, when we're basically going to have to be running 8-car trains all the time, and when we're going to say not just that 700,000 is the daily ridership, but when it's going to be 800,000, 900,000, a million people a day routinely. And just as, when we were back at 350 and 400, we couldn't imagine getting to 6 or 7 every day, that's going to happen. And the only way we can meet the challenges is to have the rail cars that we're going to need and basically the most sophisticated equipment we can get. And so, well, this agreement has a lot of elements and there's a lot of decisions, and I'm, not 100% sure absolutely every one of them, is the right or without, consequence. When you look at the totality of it, I think this is one of the most important steps that this authority has taken in years or will be able to take, and people will be paying a lot of money to do it. We're going to be putting in for a lot of federal and other jurisdictional money. And I think it's very important everybody understand how significant this decision is and what it means for the future of this agency and this region. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm pleased to support the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Zimmerman. It is without a doubt a very significant action, both in terms of the finances that are involved and in terms of the technological changes that we will be making. We're taking a very large step and a very different step, moving ourselves from the technologies of the 60s to the technologies of this century. Mr. Downey.
I want to associate myself with the point that this is a big deal and a real commitment to the future of the system. I would also like to thank the staff for the time that they have spent on this over the last 2 months. This was brought in 2 months ago on very short notice and very limited information. I wasn't comfortable with it at that time. I wanted to know more about the basis of the choice, the technology, the business terms, and the like, and they have provided all that. I'm going to be very comfortable voting for it.
Mr. Linton.
I also would like to associate myself with the remarks of Mr. Zimmerman. I will say, not in correction of Mr. Downey, but the staff has been working on this for a long time. And I know the 2 months were the months in reference to clarification of some of the issues.
Of all the good work they've done.
That's right, of all the good work that they have done. But this has been a massive undertaking by Mr. Kubitschek, I know, who's kind of given his next born in this effort. And all the people that are affiliated with him have really work hard to put forth the best rail cars that they could possibly have within the market. And I'm very pleased with the level of detail, the level of preciseness in their movement to make sure that we do have cutting edge, but also that it's not bleeding edge. So I am, too, would associate myself with the remarks that were made by the two previous speakers. And to commend the staff for all the work that has been done. The only thing I will say to everybody that, as Mr. Zimmerman acknowledged, they are man-made, which means that, like the laptop that you work with and computer that you have every day, there will be some hiccups. They always are. And anybody that will expect perfection is in the wrong business. With that, I conclude my remarks.
If we're ready to vote,
Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Hudgens.
It has been said, but I think I shall repeat some. And that is, I think there the other significant part about this is was noted by Mr. Zimmerman is that these are the cars that will be the first cars of the extension, and they will provide an amazing amount of relief in terms of the congestion that exists today within where the line goes today, but what it will do to expand that capacity. And I don't think we want to leave out the fact that out of this agreement that we've been able to not only have the MY and WMATA agreement, but we are also providing the opportunity to replace the 1,000 series cars as a result of the type of agreement we were able to make. And that's a significant piece because it keeps the commitment that we've made to the customers regarding the safety of our system as well as advancing its technology at the time that we do it. So we're all glad to celebrate a really good news piece of action today.
Are we now ready to vote?
No.
Ms. Hewlett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very briefly, I too agree with a lot of the comments that were said, but I would also like to highlight one other item, and that is to Mr. Kubitschek and all the staff who worked on this. You know, when you came before, we weren't ready. The board wasn't ready. We had tons of questions, and it sort of dovetails on the previous discussion we had about the contract, the multi-year contract. We weren't comfortable at that time, and we let it be known, and we thank you for your responsiveness in that interim period, in that two-month period, because you came back. You really gave us all the presentation and all the information that we really needed in order to make this decision. So I thank you for your responsiveness in that, in addition to all the other hard work.
Sure. I want to comment. One of the concerns I had earlier was oversight of this contract. I just will note in the administrative items, there is a contract to give us the technical support that will be needed to deal with those hiccups, not all of them, but as many as we can.
Correct. Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Okay. Moving on to item 13, is there a motion to approve? Moved by Mr. Albert, second. Mr. Graham. Staff seems to be pleased that. I have a question on this item, actually. 13. And you do also? Okay. This item seems to read as, first of all, it does not have a budget, and it says there's no impact on funding. We don't normally take actions of this sort, especially going through awards and executes without knowing how much money we're spending, acknowledging that there is a difference between subsidy and cost, and that in this particular case we will spend money, it just will be reimbursed. That seems to be covered by an item that says that staff will come back to the board as soon as we do have a budget, and that we will in fact at that point have an opportunity to review this project and approve it and modify the budget. I would therefore ask that we just then do the execute and the award, items A and B on the blue sheet. In other words, we now authorize the negotiation and the initiation of a contract, but the execution and award are subject to coming back with an actual agreement and a budget. Is there any problem with doing that? Okay. Mr. Downey.
The question I had was, as that process goes forward, who will be making the technical decisions and the selection of the equipment?
Good question.
The answer, Mr. Graham?
This board.
So this, Mr. Graham's answer is that we are responsible for those final decisions. With that clarification and the change to negotiate and initiate. I'm ready for vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. This one is approved. The last item is approval to issue a settlement for an ERG claim. Motion to approve. Anybody? Ms. Hudgens moves. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Zimmerman. Discussion. Any comments? The only issue I raise, and this is one I asked Ms. Kissel earlier, is This appears to be an operating item, but the funding is coming from the capital budget.
We got clarification on that. This actually is a settlement that's associated with mass software development on behalf of the vendor that consists of self-service website, software for the clearing and the settlement for the customer service operations, and then a messaging system development. So the settlement is associated with those capital types of investments that were.
Thank you, Ms. Kissel. Does that mean we still have a claim outstanding on the operating issue?
No, we don't. This actually settles the claim, and I might add it settles it far below from what actually they were requesting and what was recommended by our internal departments. So.
Okay. Based on that, any other comments, Mr. Linton?
Is the contract of this engagement, does that conclude now? Is this the end of the contract year? Or?
The contract concludes at the end of June, and we actually have awarded a contract to a new vendor, and we're in the process of transitioning that customer service center. Yeah.
Has that award come before the board?
The award has came before the board, I think, last month.
It did.
I believe it did, yes.
Any other comments? If not, all in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? No. Passes unanimously. We now move to the report of the Finance and Administration. Oh, I'm sorry. This was put later than our individual reports. First, the reports by DC, Mr. Albert.
No reports.
WSDC, Mr. Solomon. MBTC, Ms. Hudgens. Federal Government, Mr. Downey. Okay, now we go to the report by the Finance and Administration Committee, Ms. Hudgens.
Mr. Chairman, I have a report from the Finance Administration Committee that met on May 13th, and which we have an action item, which the financial systems integration system was presented by staff for approval to initiate an award under GSA or other competitive procurements contracts to implement the financial systems integration project. The board directs the Office of Inspector General to monitor this project and report back to the board. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I move for I move approval of the item.
I'm sorry. It's been moved and seconded by Ms. Heward.
Yes.
Okay.
The motion is to
approve the financial systems integration project. It is item A under the report. Any further questions or comments? We've now reviewed this in Finance Committee.
Multiple times.
All in favor say aye. 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 Opposed? No. This one is approved.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the board defer items B and C until after we recess and come back at approximately 2 p.m. For action.
Okay. We're going to recess for lunch. There will not be an executive session. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So we are recessing. The proposal here is that we recess and come back for potential action at 2 o'clock. That's our target. Any comment?
And that's it, Madam Chair, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. On both of these items. Without objection, this meeting is in recess. We will return at 2 o'clock.